Management and Time Blocking Podcast, Episode 1. How do you take your task management and time blocking to the next level? With so many bits and pieces of advice kind of floating out there, it should be easy to figure out a plan of improvement or at least your next step. But there's no single place you can trust that will help you come up with your next best improvement. Here on the podcast, we'll help you by first offering up a tricky task management problem. Then we'll explore a range of possible solutions all in real time. The point is to do more than just offer cliches or repeat stuff that's been said elsewhere. We want to come up with something brand new every single time. So welcome to the Task Management and Time Blocking Podcast. And welcome to the first episode of the Task Management and Time Blocking Podcast. My name is Francis Wade and I'll be your host. And in this introductory episode, I'm going to be covering four things. First, I'll let you know who I am. Then I'll tell you about the problem with task management that we hope to tackle, the overall problem. Then we'll look at why help has been so hard to find. And then I'll talk about how the episodes of each of our podcasts will be organized to meet your needs. So first of all, who am I? Well, I'm the host of the Task Management and Time Blocking Virtual Summit. It's been held in 2020, 2021, and we're gearing up again in 2022. It's being held on March 3rd to 5th this year. And if you want more information or you want to register, you can go to timeblockingsummit.info. I also happen to be the founder of Two Time Labs, which is a place where we explore different solutions to all things related to time-based productivity. It's the reason I wrote the book Perfect Time-Based Productivity. Been around for about 5 years. And it comes from my background as someone who's been teaching time management programs since around the early 2000s. Really though, I really gained my momentum and some motivation when I moved from Florida to live in Jamaica, and that's where the real challenges began, and that's where the story really starts. By day, I'm a management consultant focused on strategy and productivity, and in terms of my training, I'm an operations researcher, which means that I've been trained in the principles of industrial engineering, bachelor's and master's, and I've also taught at the MBA level, taught statistics and research for a few years to MBA types at a school in the United States. So that's a little bit about me and my background. You can find out much more at twotime-sys.com if you really want to know my background or my bio. And you can link with me on LinkedIn, of course. I'd love to meet you. So what's the problem with task management and time blocking that we're here to solve? Well, let's start off by defining the problem of task management. So what is it and why is it a problem? Well, task management in general, it's nothing to do with tasks that we've done in the past or the tasks that you happen to be doing in the present. The problem that we have is the ones that we need to do later. And we come up with a method of task management in order to solve or complete tasks that we need to do in the future, later. So task management includes all the activities, the methods that we use to fulfill our intention to complete an activity later. So that includes habits, practices, rituals, routines, as well as apps, as well as devices such as smartphones or planners or journals or books. Everything that we use to fulfill that intention to complete an activity later. See, at some point in your teens, you learn that just wanting to do stuff later wasn't enough. You actually had to do something else, because if all you did was say, okay, I'm going to do that later and just left it at that point, chances are you wouldn't actually do it, right? You were either taught You probably learned through hard experience that the first thing you had to do when you decided to do something later was to try to remember to do it later. So in task management, there's a difference between setting the intention and then actually making an attempt to remember to do it later using your memory, which is what we were taught to do when we were 9, 10, 11 years old, right? And if you've ever seen that Sesame Street cartoon, I call it loaf of bread, container of milk, and a stick of butter. And it's available on YouTube. I'm going to put it in the show notes. It takes about a minute, and I'd love to play it, except that I don't know about getting the copyright permission to actually play it live on the air. But the point is pretty simple. A little girl is asked by her mom, she's about 8 years old, to go to the corner store and to buy a loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. And she starts repeating it to herself. Okay. And her mom says, do you need help? She said, no, I'll remember. And she skips off to the store, a loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. And she's repeating it over and over again. She gets to the store and she says, hello, Mr. Store Person, Mr. Salesman. I would like to buy a loaf of bread, a container of milk, and she goes blank. And as she goes blank, you see her kind of say, what was it? It's something else. And she replays the video of her mother making the request in her mind. A loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. And she goes, oh, a stick of butter! And she buys the items and takes them back home. And her mom says, how did it go? She says, I remembered. And her mom says, basically, great. Now, I remember seeing that video when I was maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. It's a very old one, right? And the point is that we were taught to use memory. And in that video, the protagonist, the little girl, is rewarded by her mom for using her memory and told how great that is. So this is what's called prospective memory. If you ever heard that term, that's memory for the future. Different from retrospective memory, which is what you had for lunch yesterday. So prospective memory is what task management is meant to solve. That's what the psychologists call it, the researchers call it. And we're taught very early on that we're good if we're able to remember tasks for the future, to develop our prospective memory. So I probably don't need to tell you that that's the seed of a problem. Because later on in life, when the number of tasks that we're trying to manage increases, what happens for all of us is that our memory doesn't work as well as it did when all we wanted to remember was a loaf of bread, a container of milk, and a stick of butter. So that's the problem. The problem is, how do you maintain your intention? How do you fulfill on it? How do you keep a task in existence so that the action actually gets completed faithfully every single time? Well, the challenge is that some of what I just told you is not commonly understood. See, all of the gurus and folks who give advice will tell you, don't use memory. Disregarding the fact that you've practiced using memory for the better part of your life by the time you hit your 20s. And most of our schooling is very much based on retrospective memory. So it's natural to think that your prospective memory should operate just as well as your retrospective memory. Because retrospective memory got you good grades, right? It was lauded. Your teachers encouraged it and your parents encouraged you to have great retrospective memory. And they also encouraged you to apply the same kind of memory to prospective memory. So what the gurus agree on is don't use your memory for prospective memory, or don't use prospective memory. And what you'll discover during as you look for help in managing your tasks is that although they agree on that point, you'll find that there's a lot more going on. It's not just as simple as saying, reverse what you were taught and don't use memory. Matter of fact, memory is actually okay when you're 8 years old, when you're using it to remember just one thing, when you're younger rather than older, because prospective memory fades as you get older, your ability to use it, or you're going to do something immediately, and right before you do it, you're using prospective memory. In those situations, prospective memory isn't a problem, right? Memory isn't a challenge. But beyond those specific instances that I just mentioned, the story gets really interesting. And we'll be looking at a couple of ideas that we've introduced here at Two Time Labs. And these ideas, I'm going to call them big ideas. And we're going to be exploring them in the course of the podcast series. So one is that the ideas, the task that you need to remember, the way you implement your task management needs to change with task volume. And the reason that memory works in those specific ideas that situations I mentioned before, is that in those situations, when you're 8 years old, for example, your task volume is as low as it will ever be for your entire life. So when task volume is low, memory works fine. However, the first big idea is that task volume changes as, I'm sorry, your memory, your ability to remember tasks changes as task volume increases. But not just memory, whatever technique you use, from memory to using a list, using schedule, using paper, using a digital format, all of that relies on task volume. And the choices that you make around the tools that you use should reflect the volume of tasks that you're trying to manage. Let's call that the first big idea. The next big idea is that we'll explore is built on the idea that one size doesn't fit all, that there's no one solution or single set of behaviors or apps that every one of us should be using. And I'm going to imagine that if you're listening to the Task Management and Time Blocking podcast, you already know this one, right? This is the one you've already heard. But what should you do about it? If you accept the fact that, we can't all read the same book and attend the same training and just do as we're told, just kind of follow the instructions, it may work, and it probably worked for us a little bit in the beginning to kind of follow someone else's lead. However, the point is that if you take that approach to its extreme, how do you reconcile it with the fact that one size doesn't fit all? Well, what some people try to do is they double down on the advice that they've gotten from a guru. They try to implement it harder and harder and harder, and they put more and more effort into it in following the prescription. So they study the words of the guru for every nuance, and then they try to adopt their behavior accordingly. And then there are others who just, they're still looking for the perfect advice from a guru, a different guru. They just move from one guru to the next because what they're looking for is the package of perfect ideas that will finally solve the problem of task management, of remembering tasks for the future, of prospective memory. We're going to throw away that approach during this podcast series. Here at the Task Management and Time Blocking podcast, we're going to take a different approach, which is that we're not actually going to be looking for perfect advice. In fact, what we're going to do is copy the gurus, because the gurus, and you can trust me here, having interacted with hundreds of them during the time management, task management and time blocking summit over the last couple of years, they're not looking for other gurus to follow. They're not looking for the perfect advice. Instead, they follow a different path. And what they do is they have developed their self-evaluation skills. They know how to audit their current system to find the next best improvement to implement. And that's the approach. The second big idea that we're going to implement here at the Task Management and Time Blocking podcast is to find ways to improve our way of diagnosing our current system so that we can make the next best improvement. We call it the Pareto improvement, the one that's going to give us that 80-20 effect. Now, unfortunately, the 80-20 effect is not going to be the same from one person to the next. Instead, what we're going to try to develop in you and everyone else who listens is the ability to diagnose your system so that you can find the next best improvement. That's the second and final big idea. So how are we going to organize the episode so we actually accomplish these big results and deal with these ideas? Well, in each episode, I'm going to announce a problem that we are going to tackle. I'm going to invite an expert, someone with some insight, who's been thinking about the problem, to come and help me deconstruct the problem, tear it apart, and then come up with some answers in real time. Now, I'm not about just asking questions and having them come up with answers that they've already put in their book somewhere, or that they've already mentioned in five podcasts, or that already exists as some cliche or some meme that's already floating out there. What we're going to do is try to come up with something brand new. Now, I can't guarantee that we're going to do this every time. It's our goal, but I'm actually going to edit the podcast so that this is something new. So that there's a bell if we come up with something new. And a buzzer if we don't. And we'll see how that works because I've never seen it done before. I've never done it before. It's all kind of fun. But even as we're having fun, it's actually deadly serious. Because we want to come up with new thinking that you can implement, that you can make practical, so that you can find that next best improvement based on this new ability that we want you to have to evaluate and audit your current system. And that's it. That's what the podcast is all about. But before I go, I want to introduce you to our next episode with Ray Sidney Smith. We're going to be looking at the problem of tasks that come into your life that you don't have any control over. Here's a little clip.
Yeah, I think so. Again, I come from a very different perspective, and I think this it'll show in this particular conversation about the concept of I always have agency. I always have a choice. There's never a time when I do not have choice. I'm not a slave, so therefore I have choice.
Those sound like fighting words. So don't miss the episode with Ray Sidney Smith coming up next. And if you want to leave a comment about this episode or any aspect of the work that we're doing here at the Task Management and Time Blocking podcast, you can go over to www.replytofrancis.info and send me either a message by text or send me a voice message, a voice note. And as you probably know, we have a couple of places that you can interact with other people, talk about this episode. One is at the community, mightytaskers.scheduleu.org, and you'll see the link in the show notes. And the other, of course, is our upcoming Task Management and Time Blocking Summit coming up in March. Two outstanding opportunities to interact with other people about the ideas that you've heard on this podcast or any of your episodes that are coming up. And if you'd like to support the work we're doing, I invite you to click on the Patreon link below to make a donation. And please don't forget to like our show and recommend it to others on iTunes, Stitcher, Google, or whatever podcast app or service you're using. This is Francis Wade. I'm signing out. I hope to see you on a future episode. And until then, take care and all the best. See you later.